Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, worship team. For those who may not have been here last Sunday, Rob, beginning this week, has taken over the leading of our worship service. I'm doing some of the stuff during the week to help him out, but he's going to be leading. He's going to continue to lead, and I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for him for stepping up to do that, and he does a great job, does he not? All right, we're going to be in Jonah chapter 2 here in just a minute. Before we get into 2, I got a question for you. How many of you here believe in prayer? Hopefully all your hands are up. How many of you believe in it? How many of you in here wish that you were better at praying? All of us are we not? What is prayer? Prayer is a conversation with God. And that conversation that you have with God is very relevant to your Christian walk. It is crucial to your Christian walk. Having a conversation with God on a regular basis helps you as you walk through this life. And so all of us as humans, we believe prayer is important. And all of us know, I've never met a Christian that said, you know what, I'm perfect at prayer, because we're not perfect people. And like any conversation, there's trials, there's struggles, there's things that go on when we pray to God. And many times when we pray, you know, we kind of stumble and we stammer. Anybody ever do that? You ever get lost? You're praying, and the next thing you know, you're thinking about the baseball game. Where did that come from, right? And we all struggle with our prayer life sometimes, and that's just normal. I think it should always be that. For what, 30-something years now, even more than that, I've been leading small groups. And at the beginning of every small group, what do? I say, all right, now who wants to lead us in prayer? And there's always that one or two or three or a bunch that go, please don't call on me, please don't call on me, please don't call on me. Because praying out loud can be scary, can't it? Why? Because you're like, oh, what if I forget? What if I stumble over your words? It's okay, because everybody else is praying with you, and we've all been there. But think about this. When you're praying, who are you talking to? You are talking to your Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe. How awesome is that? And when we are met with the face of awesomeness, I think we ought to be a little bit uncomfortable. It should not be like talking to your best buddy. So if you stammer and if you stutter and if you get lost, keep praying. Keep going. It's fine. It's okay. Your Heavenly Father knows. He understands. In fact, we're told the Holy Spirit takes what you're thinking and He helps communicate it with God. Prayer is crucial. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you believe patience is important? Yeah? Don't we want to live around a bunch of patient people? How many of you in here are perfectly patient people? I didn't see any hands go up. Why is that? Because patience is a struggle for all of us as well, is it not? We all struggle to be patient. Well, in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, the Apostle Paul tells us this. He says, rejoice in hope, be patient in what? Be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Prayer and patience go together. You see, I don't want to bash people that say this, and I may have said it in my past, but I've heard the cliche, you've heard the cliche, right? And I get it. 9 times out of 10, or even most of the time, people will say this, and they're just trying to make a joke. Don't pray for patience, because then God's going to send you a problem, right? Well, I don't really, if we dive into that, I don't think that's exactly how God works. Patience is not something that you pray for in advance and you try to prepare for. The scriptures tell us that patience is something that is an outflow of who you are. Patience is not something that you prepare to do in advance. It's something that develops as you pray in the midst of the storm. You see, I refer to Galatians 5, 22 and 23 often around here, a lot. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 give us the fruits of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the things that are produced in a Christian when they are walking daily with the Holy Spirit. The first three I'm always mentioning because I don't want to name all 9 every time, but love, joy, and peace. So you hear me say that, love, joy, and peace, right? Fruits of the Holy Spirit. Number 4 is what? Patience. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Patience is not something that you work at. Patience is something that is produced through you as you walk with the Holy Spirit. And how do you walk with the Holy Spirit each day? You pray. Prayer and patience go hand in hand. So that in the midst of a storm, when I'm going to God and I'm praying, He is going to help me be patient in the midst of the storm. He is going to help me react in a way that I know I should react. So having prayer and having patience are crucial in the Christian walk. But let's be honest. Waiting's hard, isn't it? Waiting is hard, isn't it? Okay. Well, for a second, I thought I was the only one that had a problem with waiting. But waiting kind of is the hardest part many times. When you're in pain, you want the pain to end when? Now. When you're in a problem, you want the problem to be over when? Now. You want it done and over with right now. If it's a problem that you caused, you want it over with now. If it's a problem somebody else caused, you don't care. You just want it to be done. Because those things make us want to get out of it. It's not normal. And so we want God to just get rid of this stuff. But sometimes God has a different plan for your pain and for your problem. And we have to be patient. But being patient is hard. Now, last week, as we started our look in the book of Jonah, we were in Jonah chapter 1. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. God said go, and Jonah said no. And so Jonah ran, and he went down to Joppa, and then he went down and got into a ship sailing the opposite direction. And we talked about the fact that if when you want to run from God, the devil will always give you a ride. And so Jonah got in the boat, and he's running from God. And when he's running from God in the boat, what did God do? God sent a storm into Jonah's life. And we talked about the fact that the sailors who were on the boat with Jonah were in the midst of the storm, even though they weren't the problem. And sometimes you're going through problems, and sometimes you're struggling because you got in the boat with the wrong person. You're dating the person you shouldn't be dating. You're hanging out with people you shouldn't be hanging out with. You took a job that God told you not to take. Anyway, you got in the boat with the wrong person, and now you're struggling. But the flip side of that can be true as well. When you're struggling because you're running from God and there's a storm in your life, it impacts the people that are in the boat with you. And it impacts the folks that are around you. That when you run from God, it's not just you that faces crisis. There are those that care about you and those that love you and those that are in the boat with you. But as we close last week, remember Jonah was thrown overboard and we left him in the ocean. We didn't get him to the fish yet. We are waiting for him to get inside that fish. We'll get him there today. He's in the ocean and Jonah is drowning, but the sailors were worshiping. Because they saw the mighty power of God and they saw His awesomeness. And they're like, the gods we used to worship, no, they're not true. We're going to worship the true and living God. And so they're worshiping God in the boat and Jonah is drowning in the ocean. And maybe that's where you are today. People around you are worshiping, but you feel like you're drowning. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I just don't feel like singing. I just don't feel like worshiping. My life is hard. I'm in the midst of a problem and I'm in pain and I'm just drowning and I see no way out. And that's exactly where Jonah was. And when Jonah was drowning and he saw no way out, we looked at this verse at the end of chapter 1. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. That God's love for Jonah didn't stop just because he ran from him. God still loved Jonah, and God loved Jonah enough to send a storm, and God loved Jonah enough to send a great fish. And we talked about how that God is a God of mercy and grace and forgiveness. And no matter how far you've run, the journey back home to God is one step away. One step out of that pew and down to the altar. You can always go home. Just like the prodigal son, when he turned and he went home and the heavenly father was looking at him, what did the father do when he saw the son coming back? He ran to him. And if you step out and if you come back to God, he will run to you because we serve a God who is a God of mercy and grace and forgiveness. Amen. So the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, I don't know about you, but the next time I get thrown off a ship and I'm sinking in the middle of the ocean, which I hope is a never, I'm not praying for a creature to come and swallow me. I'm praying for a cruise ship to take me back home in luxury. You are, right? And if God says, no, you can't have a cruise ship, I'm going to be like Abraham, and I'm going to start bargaining with God. Well, God, if I can't have a cruise ship, how about just a fishing trawler? And God says, no, you can't have a fishing trawler. Well, can I have a canoe? How about a lifesaver? Anything but a fish. That's what I'm praying for. I'm sure that Jonah, when he hit the ocean and he realized that God was going to save him, he wasn't thinking about a big old whale or whatever that fish was. My friends, sometimes pain isn't always punishment. We tend to think so, but think about this. If you reach out on your stove and you grab that cast iron skillet and it's hot, you ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it hurts, doesn't it?
But
it's a reminder, you don't grab a cast iron skillet when it's hot unless you got a pot holder or whatever those things are called. That's pain, but it's not punishment. It's a reminder. And sometimes pain isn't punishment, even though we think so. And my friend, sometimes what we call a problem, God calls provision. Sometimes God sends a storm your way to keep you out of a bigger storm. And sometimes God lets you work through a problem in order to prepare you for something bigger and something better. You see it as a problem, but God says, that's not really a problem. I am providing for you right now. And for 3 days, God provided for Jonah, even though it wasn't the most comfortable of situations. And my friend, in that time and in those 3 days, Jonah was helpless, but he wasn't hopeless. And you may feel helpless here today. You may feel like your financial circumstance is so bad you're never going to get out of it. My friend, there is still hope. You may feel like that I've run from God so long that God doesn't care about me anymore. My friend, that is not true. God cares about you. Even if you feel helpless, you are not hopeless. Because we serve a God who is a God of mercy and grace and forgiveness. And even when we run away, he still stands and he waits with open arms saying, come home. And when you come home, I will be there to meet you and I will run after you and I will help you. And so Jonah, he's in the midst of a problem. But it's actually his provision. And so what does Jonah do? Then Jonah, what did he do? Prayed. He prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. In the midst of his pain, in the midst of his problem, in the midst of his suffering, he prayed. James tells us, is anyone among you suffering? Let him what?
Pray.
If you're suffering, what are you supposed to do?
Pray.
You pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. When you have problems in your life, it's time to pray. When things are going well in your life, it's time to pray. When you are in pain, it is time to pray. When you don't know what to do, it's time to pray. It's not time to worry. Jesus said in Matthew 6, don't worry about tomorrow. I know what you need and I've got it. That's my paraphrase. We're told throughout Scripture, don't worry. It's not time to worry, it's time to what? It's not time to worry, it's time to? Okay, it's time to pray. It's not time to run and hide, it's time to pray. It's not time to lash out, it's time to pray. It's not time to post on Facebook, it's time to pray. Are you suffering? Are you in pain? Is there a problem? Do you know what to do? Are you struggling today? God says, come to me and let's talk about it. And we call that prayer. And so let's look for just a few moments at Jonah's prayer from the belly of the whale. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. So you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. What an interesting prayer. He's talking about seaweed and being in the pit. It doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? You know what the most spiritual kind of prayers are? Honest prayers. Not the smooth as butter prayers that some people pray. Those aren't wrong. But God wants your honest prayers. That's what a spiritual prayer is. Where you're talking to your Heavenly Father and you're pouring out your heart to Him. God, I'm angry. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm confused. God wants your heart and He wants you to be honest with Him. And as we look at this prayer of Jonah, he's just talking about where he is. And there's four things that I want to point out that I see. Number one, he cries out in confidence to God who hears. I cried out to the Lord and He answered me. I cried out to the Lord, He heard me. If you're here today and you're struggling, you can cry out to God and you can be confident that He does hear you. If you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, God hears your prayers. Now, like a good father, He doesn't always answer right away and He doesn't always answer the way you want, but He does hear you. And sometimes just being heard is enough, is it not? A lot of times people go to counselors just to have somebody to listen. Being heard, and I promise you that you cry out to God, He will hear you. But see, there's something else in here too. He admits his circumstances. There's no reason to hide your circumstances from God. He knows about them. Matter of fact, He knows more about them than you know about them. So when you go to God in your honest prayer, you need to admit, God, I am angry. Or God, I am hurting. And I don't understand. God, you know what? I almost got to file for bankruptcy. Or God, I'm ready to walk away. Or God, I don't want to go back. Just go to God with your honest prayer. Admit the circumstances that you are in. That's the start. But you also got to admit that God sent those circumstances many times. Jonah's like, I'm in this belly, and I got this seaweed wrapped around my head, and I'm here because you put me here, God. That's a recognition of the sovereignty of God in heaven. Understand that sometimes that storm was sent by God, not because He's mad at you, but because He loves you. God put a storm in Jonah's life because He loved Jonah and He loved the people of Nineveh, and He wanted them to hear the gospel. And so God was going to do what it took to get His attention and get their attention as well. Recognize that God is still there in the midst of your circumstance. And of course, there's always got to be repentance. Repentance isn't just saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is actually turning from your bad behavior. And so Jonah says, God, this is where I'm at. It's my fault, so you put me here because of my behavior. I'm going to change. Now, my friend, when you're struggling, it's time to what? It is time to pray. And what kind of prayers do you pray? Honest prayers. And as Jonah's praying his honest prayer, he closes it with this verse. He goes, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. What is that? That's praise. I will pay what I have vowed. Meaning, God, I am committed to doing what you told me to do. I've learned my lesson, and I'm going to obey. And then he says, salvation is of the Lord. The acknowledgement that God is God and I am not. What a wonderful prayer. Now, when did he pray this? When did he give his praise? Before or after he was delivered from the fish? Before. He's still in the middle of his problem, isn't he? He's still in the midst of his pain, isn't he? Yet he's still sacrificing his voice. He's still giving praise to God. My friend, prayers in the midst of the storm, they must include praise because it's a recognition that God is good. All the time. That God doesn't change based upon your circumstances. That God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And so we must learn to praise in the middle of the circumstance, in the middle of the storm. We must learn to worship God for who He is. And when we learn to praise God for who He is in the middle of the storm, the prayers of praise will then produce the patience Because when you begin to praise God in the middle of your problem, you start to lift your eyes to the problem solver. And you get your eyes off the problem. When we've got our head down like this, and we're staring at our problem, our world is really, really small. We can't see a whole lot of things. But when we lift our eyes to our Heavenly Father, our world begins to open up and we can actually see more. And we begin to remember and we begin to recognize who God is. We begin to praise Him. We begin to realize that, well, if I'm still in this problem, there's one of two things. One is I'm still not obeying God, or I am obeying God and He has just got something to teach me, and I'm just going to keep doing the next right thing, and I'm going to keep praising Him until we come out on the other side. Praise God in the midst of the storm. But you're like, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. What in the world do I pray over this? If you don't know what to pray, pray the Scriptures. Open up your Bible, open up the Psalms, and start praying the Psalms. I want to show you something real quick. I won't look at all the verses, but real quick, let's look at what Jonah prayed. And Jonah said, I cried to the Lord because of my affliction, and He answered me. What did David say in Psalm 120? In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and He heard me. He was praying the Psalms of David. How about this? Jonah said, then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. David said, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Jonah said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. David said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. One last one. Jonah said, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. David said, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Then God responds, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. So if you're unsure what to pray, open up your Bible and start praying Scriptures. Maybe you start with something like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. He restores my soul. What a beautiful psalm to pray. Or Psalm 51, a psalm of repentance from when David was repenting of his sin with Bathsheba. And if you're like, I'm not even sure which psalms, in our church bulletin, our pamphlet today, I have notes here. Some Sundays, a lot of Sundays, I put notes. I even gave you a list of suggested psalms that you can turn to and pray during different circumstances. Open up your Bible and simply pray the Word of God. Those are the words of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing to pray. So, the Lord spoke to the fish. Remember last week we talked about how that God speaks. And why does God speak? Because He loves. God speaks to us because He loves. Well, God spoke to the fish here. And what did the fish do? It vomited Jonah onto dry land. God spoke to the fish because Jonah was praying and Jonah was praising. And as Jonah was praying and as Jonah was praising, God began His deliverance. And God began to deliver Jonah. And when God delivered Jonah, it was gross. Think about it. He's got seaweed wrapped around him. He stinks. Scholars believe that he probably had no hair from the acid inside the fish. He hadn't eaten or drank in 3 days, so he's exhausted, and he's hungry, and he's tired. He is a mess. And when you come to God, God's deliverance of you sometimes is going to be messy. And as Rob comes, When a person gets saved, we come to God with our brokenness. And we bring our brokenness to Him. And God doesn't necessarily take all of the baggage that we bring and throw it out all at one time. But what does God do? God says, here, let me help you with that baggage. And here's a small piece of baggage that's been plaguing you for years. Let's help you get rid of that one. Okay, now we're ready for a little bit bigger piece of baggage. We're going to get rid of that one. And it's going to be messy and it's going to be a struggle. Now, that's not permission to continue living in sin. But it is an acknowledgement that just because you have now come back to God, that God doesn't take all your consequences and just throw them out the window. You're still going to deal with consequences when you come back to God. Your life is still going to be messy at times. And it's going to be a struggle getting through the problems and the pain at times. But that's okay. Because now you're headed back in the right direction. Jonah was a mess, but he was headed to Nineveh. And when he gets to Nineveh, we'll see next week, God even used the messy Jonah to deliver a powerful message. And your mess that you're coming out of can be a wonderful message to someone else. Your story of how God brought you through your pain and through your problems can be a wonderful testimony to the goodness of God and how that God can lift you up. Let me tell you my story. Let me tell you who I was before I met Jesus. Let me tell you where I found myself when I started running. And let me show you what our amazing, awesome, wonderful God did for me. And your mess can be a testimony. If you're here today and you don't feel like worshiping because you're drowning, just turn your face to God and begin to praise Him for who He is. This week, I want to challenge you. Take one of your prayers this week and turn it into nothing but praise. Because quite often our prayers are, God, here's this, here's that, here's my list, can you help me do this? How about spend a few moments in nothing but praise and watch God work? So if you're coming back to God, don't worry that you're a mess. Just do the next right thing. Take a step, come forward, pray, and watch God work. With heads bowed. Oh God in heaven, I thank you that when Jonah ran, you just didn't let him go. You chased after him. I thank you that when you brought him back, Lord, you didn't make it all right instantly. You brought him through some difficult times because you had some lessons for him to learn. And you wanted him to become the man he needed to be for the job that you were preparing him for. Oh God in heaven, we all come to you today. We are broken and sinful people. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you for the gift of salvation. God in heaven, I pray for each and every soul here today. I pray if there's one who doesn't know you as Savior, that today they will put their faith and trust in you. I pray, Lord, that if there's one that's been running, that today is the day they stop. And I pray that you'll help all of us to go to you in prayer and in praise. And if we're in the midst of a mess, help us just to do the next right thing. And for those of us, Lord, who've maybe come through on the other side, help us to reach back and help those who are following behind. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will move in our hearts and in our minds these last few moments. I pray that as Rob sings, that if anyone needs to respond, that they will respond. Oh, Holy Spirit, make our hearts soft, make our hearts tender. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with heads bowed and eyes closed as Rob sings?
Hi, and thank you for watching. I trust that the sermon blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you to take your next step of faith. Please click the like and share button on our YouTube page. And if you're in the area, come visit us. Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. We would love to see you. I believe you will find us to be a warm and welcoming people. We just want to love God and love people. And check out our website, summitvillechurch.org. That's summitvillechurch.org. Over there, you can learn more about us. You can check out past sermons. You can also check out future events and things that we have coming up. And we also have a give button. And would you pray about giving to our ministry so we can continue to expand and grow so we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Summitville First Baptist Church exists to share the love of Jesus, to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. God bless you and have a great day.